Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, already on this third Wednesday of Lent, the topic has taken us to the morning of Good Friday. As we think about Good Friday, it was a horrible day, but it was also a wonderful day. Today we focus on Pontius Pilate. We focus on who he was, how he reacted to the Jewish leaders who came with Jesus, accusing Jesus. We're going to focus on his questioning of Jesus, his desire, seemingly a true desire, to release Jesus, and finally his order to crucify Jesus. First of all, we know that Pilate was the governor of Judea at the time when Jesus was laying down his life for our sins. Going to Luke chapter 3, the Bible says, "In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod, being tetrarch of Galilee, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness." So that passage lays out these historical realities as to who the key leaders were at that time when John the Baptizer was called by God to begin his ministry of calling people to repent and baptizing them for the forgiveness of sins. As I read through that list, you might recall that last week, Dr. Geisler touched on Annas and Caiaphas. So they were the high priests at that time. And the other thing that this passage helps us know is that the Bible is not filled with clever sayings or made-up stories, but the Bible is actually a true historical account of what happened years ago. So we see it laid out there early in Luke chapter 3. Now, jumping ahead to John 18, we see that Jesus is delivered over to Pilate. So, of course, we know what happened prior to that, where he would have been arrested, and then he was brought to Annas, then he was brought to Caiaphas, then he was probably put into some kind of a dungeon-type prison in the middle of the night, and then finally they take him from there and they bring him to Pilate right at the crack of dawn. So here we are, very early on Good Friday. The Bible says, "Then the Jewish leaders led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters." It was early Friday, early Good Friday morning. Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" Going to Luke 23, we see one statement that they made to Pilate. They said to him, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." What were they trying to do? Were they trying to be truthful about Jesus? No, their whole goal was to say something that would spark Pilate to say, "That's a horrible thing. We need to get rid of this guy." So over and over again, that's what they wanted Pilate to conclude. But they have a really tough time getting Pilate to come to that conclusion. In John 18, these Jewish leaders also said to Pilate, if this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." In other words, they're saying, "Pilate, trust us here. We're the good guys. We wouldn't be wasting our time with this man if he hadn't done something really, really serious. That's why we brought him. Take our word for it. Just get rid of him." That's what they wanted. But it records in John 18, Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." Do you remember the times in Jesus' life where people were so upset with him, they were going to throw him off a cliff. Well, they tried to kill him, illegal, but yet they tried to kill him anyway. Or the other time, they wanted to stone him to death, illegal for them, but yet they tried to do it anyway. It wasn't Jesus' time, so God the Father protected him. Now we're coming to the time that God appointed for him to lay down his life. So when they said to Pilate, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death," the Bible says this was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. Right now we're in John chapter 18. If we go back to John chapter 12, Jesus said, "When I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." When he said that, he knew the cross was coming. He knew he would be literally lifted up from the earth on that cross. That's what he came to do, and he desires that all people would be drawn to him, knowing that we are sinners, we can't fix it, only in him is there salvation. We talked about it last Sunday. We talked about the primary will of God, that all people would be saved through him. That's what he desires, to draw all people unto himself. And then we see Pilate question Jesus. We continue in John 18. The Bible says, "So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' Jesus answered, 'Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?' Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?'" By Pilate asking that question, he's indicating that he's his own man. He's not going to condemn Jesus just because the religious leaders brought Jesus to him and said he was a bad guy. Pilate is trying to get to the bottom of what's going on here. So he said to him, "What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So, you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king." And then Jesus said something very important. He said, "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, probably sarcastically, he said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, the Bible says that he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." So even though these men had so strongly accused Jesus, Pilate talked to him, and Pilate said, "I find no guilt in him." Jesus said some really important things here about truth. He said that truth is important. Earlier in John chapter 8, Jesus said that it is truth that sets us free from the condemnation of our sins. And for those who have been set free, how can we identify such people? Jesus made it clear, everyone who has been set free listens to him. So are you listening to him? If you are, that is one of the indicators that you have been set free. But think about the many that all of us know. So we have family members, friends, neighbors. When I say those words, many people pop into my mind, and as far as I know, they do not really at all listen to Jesus. But that's a mark, though, of a follower of Jesus, is that they listen to him. What does that mean to listen to him? That means that we want to hear what he has to say. And then by the power of God, he lets us understand what Jesus is saying. He enables us to believe what Jesus is saying. And he gives us the desire, according to our new nature, to want to make application of what Jesus is saying in our lives. Sometimes we so much want people to know Jesus and go to heaven, but sometimes we can fool ourselves trying to tell ourselves, oh, I think somehow he or she is okay. But let's be honest, though, are such people listening to Jesus? It reminds me of this time many years ago, about 30 years ago, I was on the evangelism team in my home congregation. And we happened to go to a home unannounced. We knocked on the door of people that were inactive members, hadn't been to the church for a long time. And actually, they were kind, and they welcomed us in. And we were getting acquainted with them a little bit. And they were telling us about a relative, I think it was a grandfather, who had recently passed away. And we didn't, you know, say anything negative about it. We're just listening to them, trying to care about them. And over again, they were telling us what a good man he was and how they were comfortable with knowing he went to heaven because he was such a good man. And then finally we said, since we're here, would it be okay if we shared some things with you about what the Bible teaches? So they agreed to that, and we got into the Bible. And about halfway through the presentation, one of the people in the family said, oh, Grandpa is not in heaven. Because what we did is we simply told them that all of us are sinners. We have all fallen short. None of us by our own goodness can get into heaven. We never connected it with Grandpa at all. We were simply talking about all of us. For us who were the visitors, for them and the family, we weren't thinking about Grandpa. But that was a really key thing, though, that the family member said, because what did that mean? That meant, I got it. I see what you're talking about. I see that it's not our goodness that gets us there. It's knowing Jesus Christ. And when they thought about Grandpa, there was nothing in his life that, as far as they knew, had anything to do with Jesus Christ. So it was an important moment. Now, the people weren't against us. They could have said, we don't like that idea, get out of our house. But they weren't, though. They listened to that. They had some respect for the Word of God. And I don't know what happened to them. I don't know what the rest of the story is. But it was very good, though, that God brought them to the knowledge of the truth that it's not about us. It's all about knowing Jesus. And then we see that the Jewish leaders, though, were not willing to give up. So now we see even more accusations coming against Jesus. Going to Luke 23 now. The leaders said to Pilate, talking about Jesus, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, even to this place. When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. Why would he do that? Pilate is like looking to get out of this situation. He doesn't want to deal with Jesus. He talked to Jesus. He said, I find no guilt in him. These men are determined on something bad happening to Jesus. He just wants to be done with the whole thing. So when he sees a way out with Herod, he's very willing to take it. So the Bible says, when Pilate learned that Jesus belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod. So who are we talking about here with Herod? It's confusing sometimes in the Bible because we can have the same name, but it's not always talking about the same person. So when Jesus was a baby and he was living in Bethlehem, Herod sent soldiers to kill all the young boys in Bethlehem. Who was that? That was Herod, but oftentimes we think of him as being Herod the Great. The Herod we have here is known as Herod Antipas, and that is one of the sons of Herod the Great. So this particular Herod, he's the one that put John the Baptist in prison. He's the one that reluctantly finally gave the order to cut off the head of John the Baptist. So that's the Herod we're talking about here. So this Herod had the ability to be able to put Jesus to death. What happened? Picking up in verse 9, the Bible says, Herod questioned Jesus at some length, but Jesus made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by vehemently accusing Jesus, yet we see that even Herod was unwilling to take the action that they desired. The Bible says that Herod, with his soldiers, treated Jesus with contempt. That means they treated him with disrespect, and they mocked him, then arraying him in splendid or bright clothing, Herod sent Jesus back to Pilate. So these Jewish leaders, they so much wanted Jesus dead. It's hard to believe they could have wanted that so bad. So they took him to Pilate. Pilate would not go along with it. Then they went to Herod. Herod would not go along with it. So now, are they going to give up? No. Now we're going to go back to Pilate. So going to Luke 23, we pick up with Pilate again, and it says, Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, you brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I do not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. How does it work today in the court system? The judge might say, you didn't do what they're accusing you of, but you certainly did these lesser things. Then they want to somehow plea bargain the whole thing down and give the guy some kind of punishment. Pilate is saying, there's not a single thing I can get on this guy. You said all this stuff. I looked the whole thing over. There is nothing here. And then Pilate went on and said, neither did Herod find any charge against him. Look, Pilate said, nothing deserving death has been done by him. So Pilate basically comes up with another idea now, and he says, here's what I'll do. I will punish and release him. It sounds like a simple statement, doesn't it? I will simply punish him, and then I will release him. Pilate is thinking, if I punish him severely, they're going to see what Jesus looks like, having been punished severely. They're going to have compassion on him. They're going to feel sorry for him. They're going to say, okay, that's good enough. We're fine now. We've been appeased. Just let him go. What kind of punishment did he receive? Well, we don't use the term too often, I guess, anymore, but this is where Jesus was scourged. So what does it mean to be scourged? Let me read you the definition. The victim of a scourging was bound to a post, stripped of his clothing, and beaten with the flagellum. So what is the flagellum? That was a whip-like instrument that not only had different strands on it that were functioning like a multiple whip in a sense, but there were things connected to the ends of those strands which were meant to tear the skin when you were whipped. The definition goes on saying the beating left the victim bloody and weak in unimaginable pain and near the point of death. But when Pilate even suggested that he would punish him and release him, what happened? The Bible records that these leaders and even the crowd cried out all together, away with this man and release to us Barabbas. The Bible says that Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, crucify, crucify him. A third time he said to them, why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. So Pilate said, I will therefore punish and release him. What happened? Pilate did punish him. Pilate did have him scourged, but unfortunately, that did not appease the crowd, that did not allow Pilate to set Jesus free, And here is the crowd now being spurred on by the Jewish leaders to not back down, but to keep insisting on Jesus being crucified. So unfair, such a horrible situation, and yet let's always keep in mind all of that that he endured. At any moment when that lash hit his back, he could have said, "I'm not willing to do this. It hurts more than I thought it would. I am God in human flesh. I can stop it at any moment. I can kill all the people who are harming me." At any moment, he could have done that. But yet, in perfect obedience to his Father, out of unbelievable love for us, he stood there and he took every bit of it. He did it for us. He did it for our salvation. Maybe that helps make some sense out of what I said last Sunday when we talked about God's primary will to save all people through Jesus. But then we talked about God's secondary will, that for all who reject Jesus, think about what he did for us. For people who reject him, they fall to God's secondary will, which is to send them to be with the devil and his angels in eternal torment. See, that's not God's primary will. God wants everyone through Jesus to have salvation, but for those who reject and reject and reject. It's such a huge thing to reject Jesus, thinking about who he is, thinking about what he did, and yet people still so quickly, so simply, so thoughtlessly reject him. If they continue to do so without repentance, they will be with the devil and his angels. God doesn't want that. I don't want that. I know you don't want that either, but that is coming for all such people who do not repent. Finally, in the last section, Pilate gave in and gave the order to crucify Jesus. The Bible says here, going to Luke 23, picking up in verse 23, the people were demanding with loud cries that Jesus should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. Now, there were some other things that came up as well. I ran out of paper with the sermon, so we know that Pilate washes his hands in front of the people, saying, "Hey, I'm not responsible for his death." And what did the people say? They shouted, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." What a horrible thing. Some other things happened there as well. But finally, the Bible records that Pilate released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder. We're talking here about Barabbas, and Barabbas will be the topic next week. So please come next Wednesday. But then finally, the Bible says that Pilate delivered Jesus over to their will. Let's be honest. Let's be real honest here for a moment. We are really like that murderer who was released. We might say, "Oh, he did something much worse than we did." But did he really, though? Jesus said, if we are angry with our brother, that is like murdering our brother in our heart. Have we ever been angry with someone? I'm sure that we have. There are so many ways in which we are like Barabbas. We deserve death. God wants us to come to grips with that. He wants us to admit that. It doesn't matter if we're here in church. It doesn't matter all the good stuff we do. We are sinners, and we deserve not only physical death, but we deserve to go with the devil and his angels. That is the truth of it. But what is the amazing thing? Even though we are such rotten people in reality, the amazing thing is that the very Son of God endured all that he did for us and for our salvation. Thinking about Pilate one more time here, in the Apostles' Creed, we confess that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. Thinking about Pilate, he was the governor in a position of authority. He knew that Jesus was innocent. We heard him say that over and over again. And he did have the authority to release Jesus. He should have released him, but he didn't. What about you? What about me? Do we always do what is right? If that's true of you, raise your hand. Okay, so we don't always do what is right. It would have been right for Pilate to release Jesus. He did not. There are many things in our lives that we know are right according to God's word, and unfortunately, we don't always do what is right. May God help us to know that sin is such a horrible thing. And we know it's horrible when we look at the cross. We know it's horrible when we begin to think about the details of what Jesus endured to take away the sin of the world. And then, by God's grace, let us be sorry for our sins. Let us turn from our sins. Let us embrace the Savior. Let us cling to him alone and know that through who he is and because of what he did, let us know that we are forgiven. We are God's holy children. One day, we will be in the presence of the Almighty God forever and ever. May God help us to ponder such things during this Lenten season, and let us always rejoice in our risen Savior, and let us even be bold enough and love other people enough to share our risen Savior with them. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you endured everything for us. Now, help us to grow in knowing you and help us to grow in living for you. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.